Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Terminology.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. So John was saying he just found out that the house next to his used to be a crack house.
Yeah, well, we were doing some yard work up front and a cop pulls up and he's you guys been having any more problems with the house next door? I was like, the creepy house? Well, we just moved in. what's the story with it? I know it's kind of abandoned. And he says, oh, well, it was a crack house. A bunch of tweakers lived there, and we had a lot of problems with that place. But a court order made the owner go to rehab, and that he's not allowed to be at the house, you know, under penalty of Jesus. Jail time.
Wait,
and
he can't go back to his own house?
No.
So he owns the house.
He owns the house, can't go back. Probably going to be foreclosed on, I'd imagine, just because it's like, because it was a lab.
You're going to buy the house next door and build a mega house?
Yeah, exactly.
Put a little habit trail in between?
Yeah.
You got to pull a Drew
Carey. Share a driveway.
Put your wheel in there, but he said, and then the people, you and D can just go run and drink from your large water bottle.
He said the people from the river that live in the LA River, like on the, you know.
River
like,
people?
River people. He said river people, and then they come up, they would come up for drugs over there.
Oh, yeah, river people come up for drugs. That's how they
river
breathe.
People.
You just have to understand how river people work.
Yeah, yeah. But check this out. The cop was like a TV cop, young and handsome as fuck. It was incredible.
Mustache? I see a lot of
no
TV
mustache.
Cops.
No, like a current TV cop, not a 70s TV cop.
Cops today still have mustaches.
Which show has a cop with a mustache?
Firefighters have more mustaches.
I swear, all I see are like cops with mustaches.
And the reason the firefighters have them is because if they want to grow facial hair, they can only grow a mustache because the mask won't seal around their face.
I thought it was a military thing
that
mustache was a sign of it, like officers in the old military had mustaches. And that's why so many cops have mustaches.
Oh, really?
I thought the practicality of it was the fact that, firefighter-wise, that the mask won't seal around them up.
You know, do you think Johnny Depp is bummed out that he can't ever grow a mustache, even though he's been trying since
He's never shaved, I've heard.
Yeah.
That's the perfect mustache for him, though. But what I was asking...
Almost in defiance, almost like every bit of his biology is saying, you are not going to have a mustache. Yeah. And he's like, I will show you, biology.
Here are my four friends that constitute the mustache, just four little hairs.
But what is ice? We were talking about ice is. Ice is what?
It's a very pure form of meth.
Oh, okay.
But what do you call it? A mole?
I thought it was crack. I always thought ice was crack.
No,
that's all we have in Lowell is crack.
Really?
Yeah.
There's no industry. It's just crack.
Crack and Catholicism.
But Catholicism is like crack to some people.
It's very similar.
But they both ruin young
and
lives.
And delicious Chinese food.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I need to go there sometime. I got it close
we
to
should
Boston.
All go there. Let's go to the Lowell Memorial Auditorium. We'll put on a show.
How big is that?
Seats about
is that
1,000.
Is it a
crackheads?
City?
Crackheads. Well, that's
it
1,500 crackheads because they're so skinny.
Lowell is a city.
Okay.
Lowell's the...
It's not a township.
It's the fourth largest city in Massachusetts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Under...
Boston, Worcester, Springfield, Lowell.
Okay.
Worcester.
Welcome to Worcester.
$1.25.
So let's talk a little bit about our weeks. I had super fun shows in Detroit and Dallas. Matt, what'd you do?
Did you, were you old Detroit or new Detroit? Did OCP get in there and build it up?
OCP like they were going was to? Not there.
Oh,
statue up yet? Is that RoboCop statue?
There was no statue up
I
there.
I asked him.
How was E3?
E3 was awesome. I saw some fucking great looking games. Spider-Man Edge of Time looks awesome.
Oh, really?
Looks phenomenal.
I was at E3 on Thursday. Wednesday.
Elder Scroll looks awesome. What else looked really cool? Cool. Yeah. I played with the Vita a little bit, the PS Vita.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was a booth girl.
Pretty awesome. No.
No.
No, I did not. Also touch sensitive, but no. On the front and back. Just like the Vita. But no. No. Yeah, it was really, really super fun. I have been working and traveling a lot this week. I'm a little delirious right now.
Mm.
Where are we?
I'm tired today, too. And I got attitude from the barista.
What?
Yeah, I accidentally said, when I was ordering my iced coffee, I said, oh, can I get a grande? I meant venti. He's all, well, what is it? You just named three sizes.
To be fair, you did.
I did. I said, oh, you know, I'm sorry. I meant venti. And then he's all, well, you just named three sizes. I was like, yeah, let's go with the last one I said.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was after the whole front of the lines over there, buddy, kind of debacle.
Whoa.
Yeah, because Jonah was next in line, but he wasn't standing in the exact right spot, so he got a little shit for that.
No, yeah. Oh, I always walk, even if no one is in there, I'll walk around the correct path of the line.
I wasn't paying attention.
I respect the line.
It's a Sunday. Everyone needs Starbucks. To slow their roll and their snark.
Slow your roll, son.
Well, what are we supposed to do for our show if we're supposed to slow our snark
Pump
roll?
Pump it up. We're playing the characters, Chris. Heightened versions of ourselves.
I'm very proud of Matthew.
What
Matthew gives a gold star. Because on the last Hostful podcast comment page, someone tried to slice and or dice you.
I wouldn't have it.
What and happened?
This guy, okay, I'll read it to you.
So
here was the comment. This guy wrote, this is from commenter Fantas. All right, that's it. Matt, Myra, this is like the fifth time on these Hostfuls that you've been told to get your shit together. Honestly, you have Hardwick and Ray, both professionals, giving you far too much leeway for your laziness. You're too lazy to write not only your own material, but for a blog that half of us would love to write for and probably do a better job than your lazy ass, TBH, which I think means to be honest. There, you're too lazy to get a passport. Yeah, your back hurts, I understand, but Jesus Christ, understand your opportunities here. This won't happen again. Get off your ass and do something. This won't happen again. He repeated that, redundant. Stop being a lazy bitch. I'm tired of hearing about it. It's genuinely pathetic. Get it together, Myra. So then I immediately commented, I'm totally reading that in the next Hostful.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry for I put the wrong name.
Yeah.
When I wrote that.
And Matthew did not go emotional apeshit ballistic on a guy as you would.
Right.
No, especially when the guy's just speaking the truth.
He laid out a very thoughtful response to each and every one about, no, I'm not lazy. It's just the passports are very expensive. Part-time still means 32 hours a week. I'm still writing stand-up every week. I'm still doing the shows. I walk. I go to the gym every day. I've lost 76 pounds. Please don't call me Myra. I find it impersonal. Matt will do just fine. And that's it. But it was very... And then everyone who commented after that was fully on the Myra train.
That's not cool.
A couple things I'd like to say that I didn't get to say in that post about my job, which is incredibly mentally draining.
Yeah. No, you are...
Both of you guys have seen me working.
Well, it's not only...
Well, yeah,
because
I installed those lipsticks for Aaron's camps.
It's not only face-to-face customer service, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners and they know how you fucking smiling in the face of a complete asshole, like that guy at Starbucks didn't do.
And I will have to say that Matthew's fruit-themed computer store is at the epicenter of douchebag and cocksuckery avenue.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure it would be
literally, actually. Yeah, it's Fairfax. That's about right.
It would be a little worse if they opened up another store in Beverly Hills. It would suck away some of that, but they haven't. So
it's basically just a location that is a magnet for kind of entitled
everybody that comes up to me is already pissed off at me.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I then have to diffuse that and then sometimes fix their fucked up computer problems.
Tip. Always clip the blue wire.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then fix their shit. Some of it is very, very complicated, weird problems.
And a lot of it they have broken into. And they're mad at you that they broke their thing.
And it just, you know, doing that all day is very exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very exhausting. When I get home, I am fried. And I usually don't get home till midnight.
Half of the money. Don't half of the money.
It's pretty much that's what I do. No, and that I don't think you don't know until you do it, but that job is mentally exhausting. This betting music is fantastic.
right.
Yeah, no, it's like it's customer service and it's computer fixing, which combined.
Work really hard at that job. I'm very good at it. The 32 hours is like, yeah, that's 32 hours from not doing overtime, which I do every single day. Yeah. But anyway.
Oh, God.
So I just want to say I thought you did a very nice job responding to that. Because if it were me, I might have been like, all right, fuckbag, you know. Yeah. But you didn't start it off, oh, fuckbag. You did a very nice, and your points were very valid.
Yeah.
And so I hope you know that we don't think we know you're not lazy on the
Well,
podcast.
I mean, it's a bit of a, you know, kind of a put on as far as the show is concerned, as far as how, oh, I'm the lazy one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's, like I said earlier, it's, you know, Chris and I give Matt a lot of shit. Because we're all really good friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all appreciate you
guys. We love Matt
to
death. We love him to death. But in a group of any three, one person has to be the laziest.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's me.
Yeah.
That's me. Jonah's the tallest. I'm the laziest.
Who would ever thought? Who would
Chris
ever
is
thought?
The control freak.
That, shut up. I'm going to cut that out.
Who would ever thought that I would be in a situation where I'm not the laziest? And it makes me feel great. And so what am I going to do? I'm going to shit on the person that's lazier because I'm going to take all that out that happened to me all the time.
You know, when they did laboratory experiments with rats where you would see aggression transference, where a lab tech would poke a rat a bunch of times and piss it off and then would take its hand out of the cage. And then that rat would then go attack another rat.
Yeah.
So it's all aggression transference.
Right. Yeah. And I will be blogging. People.
Oh, yeah. Tell them what you'll be blogging.
Well,
this is very exciting.
Yeah, this is very exciting.
So, NASA.
Wait a minute.
Has a very strong. Yes.
Who?
NASA.
Holy shit.
NASA has a very strong.
Nassau County?
Nassau County.
NASA
has a very strong Twitter presence.
You mean where the astronauts work? The
exactly.
One, like the one with the genie?
The Aeronautics Space Administration. Yeah. That one.
Yeah.
They have a tweet up at every space shuttle launch. So, what happens is they have this big open sign up where you sign up and try to get, you know, 150 slots. And someone tweeted at me, hey, Matt, you should totally try this. This is the last space shuttle launch. And I was like, all right. So I did. I filled it out, sent it off. And then I got an email from NASA that said, congratulations. You've been accepted to go. You've been picked to go to the last space shuttle launch, STS-135, the last launch of Atlantis or the space shuttle.
Awesome!
Yeah.
Now, what's cool is I got an email today back that said, do you want it to say Matt on your badge? I was like, yeah. Not Myra.
Can it say Matt Myra from Nerdist?
Please. But what's awesome, it's 2 days, July 7th and 8th. You get to talk to technicians, engineers, and astronauts.
Oh, my God, dude. And
it's the last space shuttle launch, and we get to go where the press gets to watch
the launch
from.
This is going to be your dream.
It's one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. Since it's the last space shuttle launch, I'm hoping some Apollo astronauts come out.
Oh, shit.
You mean come out of the closet?
Yeah. No, I mean someone should. Yeah. It's Pride Week.
I mean, come on. It's been enough time.
Did they pick the people based on
I have
who
no
they
idea.
Were? Was it random?
No idea. I assume it's random.
Yeah.
Although, I feel like
pretty amazing, though.
I feel like if they looked at because I don't know if you've seen the bio thing on the Twitter page.
Yeah,
I have, it says, I'm on the Nerdist podcast, and I love that video of Buzz Aldrin punching the moon landing denier in the face.
Yeah.
It could have been the punching
Maybe
the moon landing denier in the face
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I do,
is
I
so
love that.
That's
freaking
kinda like
awesome.
Their thing.
Yeah.
That's like their biggest thing.
Right?
The moon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're gonna go
That's
and
humanity's
you're gonna go also as a journalist, right?
I'm gonna go take pictures, blog the whole thing, my whole journey over there. I get to I'll be staying with my parents.
Sure.
So I will see them.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh wait, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that how fucking awesome that is. That you also it's like a fucking trip back to see your parents as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen my
it's
parents.
It's one of
since
those fucking trips.
Yeah. So that's
way to ruin an awesome trip.
That's what I'm gonna do. And also, if it's okay, I said on Twitter that I was gonna this summer I wanna watch every episode of Star Trek Next Generation in order. I wanna blog about it.
All right.
All right. So that's what I'm going
to
do.
On Nerdist. Okay, yeah, yeah. Yes.
No,
I,
not my own.
I invite you to do all of that. All right. I am so excited that you're going to the NASA tweet up. This is huge news. I mean, like...
This is really great.
I'm just praying that the launch doesn't get scrubbed because of shitty Florida weather.
I mean, that's almost like assembling your dream team of Red Sox players.
Yep.
And blowing them like a seal horn.
Mm-hmm.
That is better, though.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'd take a shot in the mouth from all of them.
Wait a minute. Blowing them like a seal horn.
Wait, I think you just lost your NASA privilege.
I have been, like, tweeting weird jokes and, like...
Do you think you're going to be able to find out some secrets? Some space secrets?
Space secrets.
The last time we landed, we didn't come back alone.
Oh, no!
Do you have a dream that they're going to be like... What, they're going to be like... All right, listen, one of the astronauts has got food poisoning. Can anyone here operate a shuttlecraft? Matt, we need you. Get in there, buddy.
Then they go, the suit won't fit, buddy.
And you're like, that's all right, I brought my own.
Fastronaut!
I'm going to wear my Fastronaut t-shirt there.
Are you really?
Someone made him a Fastronaut t-shirt.
That Smart Bunny made.
Oh, Smart Bunny's great.
And then the next day I'll wear what my girlfriend got me for Christmas, which she made me a t-shirt with Michael Collins on the front of it, and it says on the back, Michael Collins, my favorite astronaut.
Oh, so I'm gonna wear that's that awesome.
It should be...
Wait, that's not that Liam Neeson movie?
No, different guy.
It should be crossed out and just say, my favorite drink.
Michael Collins? Yeah. Would that be a Tom Collins?
Yeah, it's his brother.
All right.
The drinks are brothers.
It's a virgin. It's a virgin because Michael Collins is an
brother
alcoholic.
Drink.
Now let's turn our
unopened water from 2 weeks
let's
ago.
Let's turn our attention to Jonah Ray.
All right, let's do it.
Jonah just broke some headphones.
No, I didn't. It's fine. I just actually when I turned my chair, it went
Give
up.
Give me
loud.
The water.
All right.
You're like fucking siblings. That kills me. Give me the water, Dad. Jonah's not. He's touching me.
Tattletale. He's a tattletale. You were probably a tattletale when you were a kid, weren't you?
No, I was the youngest.
Yeah. The youngest one is usually the tattletale.
No. It was like 7 years difference between me and my closest sibling.
Really?
Mom, Danny's getting a law degree.
See, 7 years? When you were seven, they were 14, getting into some crazy shit?
Yeah.
And you didn't tattle on them?
No.
Did you felt left out?
No, I didn't.
All right.
Well, we covered that. Jonah.
Yeah.
What happened to you in the past couple days?
This week, I found out that the pilot I was working on Comedy Central, Jonah's Arcade, was passed on.
Oh!
It was not.
Did they smear
up.
Sheep's blood on your door so that the angel
passed
of
passed
death
over? It's now I'm actually going to be celebrating this from now on every year. On
they passed on Jonah's Arcade.
They passed on Jonah's Arcade, not. Not for lack of it being funny from, and this is what I hear. They could have just been, being nice to me. But it wasn't for lack of being funny, more of a lack for them not thinking that video game themed television can work for their audience.
Right. Because seriously, no one plays video games, Jonah.
No one plays video games.
You know, I was just at E3. Mm-hmm. This video game thing is never going to catch on.
Yeah. The thing is, it's kind of odd because most of their ad money, if you watch South Park, it's every commercial is for a video game.
No, it'll never catch on.
Yeah. And also, it's the biggest industry outgrossing.
They're hard to figure out. It's like you have to buy them, and it's like you have to learn controls. It'll just never catch on.
It's only for little brothers.
Yeah. Your mic stopped working?
Apparently.
No, you got to turn it on.
Wait, you hit the off button. That's why.
Oh, that didn't work before.
It did.
Now
that light wasn't on.
Mm-hmm.
Jonah.
You've been recording this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean.
But anyway, back to no one buys video games. I mean, it's true. You know, I tell you,
my Xbox is broken. I'm never buying a video game system again. I mean,
so that happened, and it was a crazy blow. I think the weirdest part was all the anxiety I've been just so anxious since the start of it. Like the whole process started. And not really ever thinking that it would go.
Right.
Because, that's just kind of my outlook on most things. Like a pessimistic optimist, mm-hmm. I guess, And I was like, there's no way this can go. But it kind of should go because it's a good idea for them to have that show. But it probably won't because it's me and nothing works. That kind of that idea. And then all this, you know, not knowing, all this anxiousness. And then it finally, when, you know, just to get a simple phone call from, you know, my manager, Alex, our manager, and like just say like, you know, they are passing a Jonah's Arcade. And it just it's weird because it's just this, all this space. And Chris can back me up on this because, you know, you've gone through similar things. Like it's like all that space in your brain, all that tension in your body and in your thoughts are, it's just now that is just, it's almost like a breakup or just gone.
Well, because what happens is when you make your own thing, and by the way, you're already ahead of most people in the world because you actually got, you are now in the machine. You got your thing made, which never happens. Not that never happens. It just doesn't happen a lot. So you are someone who has created a show that got piloted, which puts you so much farther than you were like a year ago.
I wouldn't even expect it, you know, and I said it before, I didn't even expect to have one, you know, within this amount of time.
But I know it sucks because what happens is when something like that goes on and you spend all this time, and I'm sure a lot of people understand this, like if they're trying to prepare a project in any field that they work in, you basically see a fork in the road, which is whether or not that gets approved. Yeah. And if it moves forward, your life is going to go in one direction. And if it doesn't, your life is going to go in a much different direction.
And not to say that either one is better or worse.
No, no. I started this podcast because a show that I, same thing happened to me. And I got so mad and I was like, fuck this. I'm tired of having my emotions tethered to whether or not someone is going to tell me whether or not I'm going to work or what I can do. And so that's why I kind of went mental and just started this podcast. So when I talked to you on the phone a couple days ago, I said, listen, be bummed about it for a couple days. You have every right to be. It's an emotional thing. But then beyond that, what are you going to do with that? You know, like, you know, if you're pissed off, then use it to be motivated and go make your own, you know, like go make a thing.
Yeah.
But at least do something constructive with it. Then you'll feel like you're in control of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. We got dinner the night I found out. Yeah. Me and Matt got dinner and like, you know, it was weird because like I'd go back and forth between just kind of hanging out and having fun and goofing off into just like, you know, just thinking like you, how you are like in a breakup. You just all of a sudden one little thing makes you think of it and then you just kind of retreat into your head. And you just kind of, you're there. And then all of a sudden someone's like, hey, and you realize you've just been staring at a fucking piece of spicy chicken for about a minute.
Delicious.
It was great.
But then after a little while, you start to feel okay. It's funny it's funny to me that as dominant as we all believe nerd culture to be, There are still sections of this business that find it to be too niche. I pitched a show to them a few years ago. I pitched a show to Comedy Central a few years ago. And you know, I will preface this by saying they're all super nice people over there.
Like great.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
But I pitched a show to them a couple years ago that was sort of that just kind of said like, it was sort of a precursor to Nerdist. It was like, look, nerd culture is now like becoming pop culture and, you know, video games are outgrossing movies and like 8 of the highest grossing films are nerd movies or comic book movies, and technology will make $1 trillion this year. I mean, it's like the nerds, they get it now. It's not too niche anymore. And so I pitched them the show and they were like, yeah, it's still too niche. I'm like, really? I just don't think it is.
Well, what I think they think is that, and to a certain extent, I think this is true, is that the nerds are maybe not numerically the largest group, but they are the loudest. They are the loudest, and they do have disposable income, it seems.
I would, you know, personally, I would go for the group that has the voice.
Yeah.
Like, not the television show, The Voice, I mean, the actual voice. That's why I never understood at CES. Like, I always thought, if I'm AT&T, right, I get a lot of shit from nerds, because they have the loudest voices, and they're the most pissed off about their iPhone service, right?
Yeah.
So, during CES, what they should do is somehow try to beef up signal at CES and say, you know, your enhanced signal is brought to you by AT&T, so the nerds go, oh my God, I'm not dropping calls all the time, and they will be the loudest voices, and then it'll be a trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
And I feel like the same
trickle-down economics.
I'm telling you, you make the nerds happy first because they're the early adopters, and then everyone else will follow. But some of these places, sometimes when I'm pitching to people, I feel like I have to fucking explain how the internet works to them.
Yeah, I mean, I was even working with an editor that edits a lot of the WebSoup sketches. He's a great director by the name of Greg Bishop, who did Dance of the Dead. And we're just like, he's really on point, really good, knows his references. But then I said I had this idea for a sketch involving memes. And he's all, oh, what? And I was like, memes, like internet memes, you know, like, you know.
One of them, like, wood sprites?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
And I was like, memes, man. And I kind of, and then he asked, what is meme? I was like, I don't know. I guess you had to be there. That's kind of, that's what the kind of an essence of a meme is, just it's you kind of had to be around during the reference point, or at least the second, or you know, first or second iteration, yeah, of that reference point
for that week.
But then
half.
It becomes, and then it folds in on itself so many times that it's just like, you know, a frog face going, and it just says blank 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 blank, you know, and then everyone goes, oh shit, because remember
I'm telling you, these companies, and then what'll happen, and this is just a warning, if you run a big media company, a big network or whatever, and you are pushing and you're not recognizing the nerds as a formidable demographic, you will be sorry, and yeah, you will end up having to play catch up. I can think of a couple channels that didn't really integrate well with the web that were predominantly young people channels. That, you know, ended up hurting.
VH1 Classics.
MTV. And, you know, so it's just like...
They're still struggling.
A little bit.
Trying to figure it out.
So
Skins. Cartoon Network seems Teen to Wolf. Be doing that right now, too. They're trying to find their ground again.
Yeah, and, you know, and one of the things, and, I, you know, maybe obviously I'm biased, but I mean, I don't think I am, though, because it's one of the reasons I wanted to work with the BBC, and BBC America is so fucking awesome about integrating all the platforms.
Yeah.
Like, they do such a great job of pulling stuff off the web and doing web content and doing bonus content and giving people a reason to go online. And it was so, like, shooting all the Ministry of Laughs stuff and the promos and stuff, they were just super cool and easy to work with. And like, this is how everyone should be. Why is it not this simple all the time?
Yeah. No, there are easier ways of doing it. It, a lot of this industry seems to be, you know, the television industry and entertainment, it seems to be, and I was talking to Dave Anthony about this, who's probably one of the most cynical assholes I've ever met in my life.
He's also hilarious.
Yeah, yeah, from the Long Shot podcast. But he was saying how it's so many of these guys working at these places are not running out of any kind of creative energy, but off of fear. Yeah. Fear that they're going to fuck up something for their boss. And that's you know, fear of fucking up isn't what creates anything positive, you yeah. know. It's like when you're too scared to go on stage and do a joke, you know, you're not gonna do it right. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're like too scared to do it, you'll never do it,
because everyone's so afraid they're gonna lose their jobs. Yeah. Everyone's so afraid they're gonna lose their jobs.
Exactly. And like, you know, I was watching the some of the Second City documentary today that's on Netflix Instant Watch right now, but Alan Arkin was saying that, like, you know, failure is the best tool for learning. You can't beat failure.
Failure is the best tool for learning.
You know, I did a thing on a Rotten Tomato show where it's and I know I had to, like, it was called like Master Thespian Theater. It was like Alan Arkin and like all of his, like, just how he's always given advice. Every role he has, he gives advice to people. And I noticed, like, something watching all his scenes. He says the other person he's talking to, it says their name, their character's name, constantly. Chris, I'm going to tell you this, Chris.
So how are you feeling now?
I'm feeling all right. You know, I'm glad that it's in the middle of the web soup season, so I can kind of just, like, you know, like, what to do, what I've been doing. I've just been focusing on work and trying to make, you know, funny things and sketches. It's not, you know, nothing's changed.
For better or for worse, I just have to believe that for whatever reason that you have an opportunity now to go do something bigger.
Yeah. And I'm also kind of excited. You know, I'm excited now that I can maybe, you know, I can devote more energy. Not that I would have phoned it in, but, you know,
he probably would have. I wouldn't have.
Yeah, but, you know, deal wise, I can devote more of my energy to the Nerdist show.
Yes, you'll be on the Nerdist show, yeah, which is going to be a lot of fun. You're going to be on the Nerdist show, and you're going to be on the Nerdist show. Mike Furman's going to be on the Nerdist show.
Perfect.
Who's
your writer? You mentioned, fuck, what's his name again?
Matt Weinhold.
Matt Weinhold. Is he working on anything with you?
I believe he is also working on the Nerdist pilot as well.
He was a writer on The Dish.
Yeah, really funny.
Matt's really funny.
I worked with him on the I worked with him on the interstitials for Ministry of Laughs.
Oh, awesome! Yeah,
and he was great.
He was always
super nerdy.
He always seems so jealous of the web soup writers because he knows all of us from, like, stand up and stuff like that. And, like, he'd be like, you know, in the other room, you know, he's a good guy. And he's a good writer and he's funny. He's, you know, but he's making jokes about clothes and lipstick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he would walk by and we're all, like, you know, we're making a parody sketch of War Games, and he's like, did you see? I got a zombie poster in my cubicle.
I drew a picture of a zombie.
He's just a guy like wearing a Ramon shirt, you know, like typing jokes with all these girls around him, you know. This is fucking awesome.
Making jokes about fashion disasters.
Fashion disasters.
But I think it's okay to announce that our guest for the Nerdist pilot.
It's going to be news to us. Everybody know this is news to me?
You don't know who the guest is yet?
I know.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
I've talked to Matt more recently than you. It's going to be none other than Mr. Craig Ferguson.
Oh, that's perfect.
I know. It's going to be great.
That's perfect. Since he's Scottish and must hate the British.
We're contractually obligated to have some form of accent besides American.
You know, I thought you were going to say Simon Pegg.
No, Simon's not going to be on the Nerdist television show.
But
he might be on the Nerdist podcast.
Maybe.
So that's some fun news.
That's great.
What I'm trying to find out is, because we're allowed to have somewhere between 40 and 50 people in the audience. And what I'm trying to find out is if we can, because I want people to come in costume.
That's fucking great.
So what I need to figure out is what kind of costumes are allowed. Like, because sometimes with TV, all the time with TV, you have to worry about logos.
So I just
want to make sure. I was wondering a wide audience shot if it's okay for people to dress what however they want, because you can really position the more vague ones.
Yeah.
So,
and if not everyone dresses up, you can keep them in a section, and then you can, you know, what's up with the dog pound over here?
Yeah, exactly. I'm gonna refer to the dog pound.
These are the people that haven't changed their drawers in over 5 weeks.
I'm gonna talk to people who are up in my house. Yeah. We're gonna whoop it up. We're going to whoop it up, as it were. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Where is that? Where are we doing that?
Here. Yeah.
In A?
Yep, Studio A, the same studio we shoot Web Soup.
And
it's been really interesting.
Tom gonna be there?
He might be, our stage manager, Tom.
Who's
been stage manager for all the soups, like going back to Talk Soup?
Yeah, yeah.
Tom was the stage manager for Greg Kinnear on Talk Soup, but he's been around
Tom
that long.
Tom fucking cracked me up.
Tom McNamara.
The sketch they did when Star Wars got re-released on Talk Soup when R2 shot a beer out of instead of a lightsaber, and Tom caught it and drank it.
Oh, nice.
It was fucking funny.
We put him in one of the hallway gags, and he is so, he's still excited about it. He's like, he pulled me aside. Last time I saw him, I just want to thank you so much for putting me on.
He's great. He's such a great dude. Yeah. But what's been really interesting about this Nerdist pilot is, I mean, I've quote unquote like produced shows before, but this is with this pilot. It's genuinely they're sending me like, here are mock-ups of the set, and what do you want to do for this? Yeah. And I'm like, nah, there's too much wood. Make it shinier. Put this in there. Give me a taxidermy badger.
That's good.
You know, just like shit like that. It's a fascinating. It really is a fascinating time for me because I've never gotten to make those decisions before.
It's great, isn't it?
It's awesome.
It's putting your fucking fingerprint on all the shit. It really
is awesome. And again, BBC America's been fucking awesome about it. Like they're just like, yeah, you know, we're here for support. Make the show you want, and they've been really, really cool.
That's awesome.
So if the show sucks, it's totally my fault. Totally my fault. I kind of like that though. It's one of the reasons why I love stand-up so much, because you get all of the responsibility. Like, you own it.
Yeah.
If it's good, you own it. If it sucks, you own it. And you can do better the next time or fix it. I don't know. It's just for some reason, I feel like that should be scary, but it's kind of exciting for me in that way.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Eric Appel, who's a director. He directed the Weird, the Al Yankovic Story trailer.
Yeah, so good.
He's a great director and very funny writer.
Patton's Dr. Demento was genius.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to find that picture I made, that poster for Demented, starring Patton Oswalt. Eric said this. He said, you know, a couple times where he's been working on stuff, he's always like, you know, he's wanted to be really accommodating towards the notes process and what the, you know, execs wanted. And he says it always comes out where they didn't want what they said they wanted, and he should have just fought for what he thought it was, and then when you do that, you just fall on your own sword, and it's okay because you can still own it. You can't go, well, I shouldn't have listened to that.
You know what I think happens a lot of times with networks and stuff is that I think what happens is they're people just like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
They're working on a bunch of different things at once. You ask them. I think the reason you get so many contradictory notes typically from a lot of networks is because they just sort of look at stuff as it gets sent to them, and they go, make that blue, and then they forget about it.
They have to justify their existence.
And then you go back to them and go, all right, make this blue, and then they forgot. They told you to make it blue, and they're like, why is that blue? No, we need that orange.
Yeah.
And then they make another like split-second decision. I think
so many of them lack a plan. And when you have a plan, you can kind of stick to it and go, well, we know what the voice of the show is. And, you know, like the decisions for the Nerdist show have not been super hard because I know, like, I know what the point of view of the show is. And exactly. I want the set to look like kind of a 60s, you know, a supervillain layer, like, you know, like kind of sparse computery stuff and kind of mod looking. And that's like awesome. That to me, that's sort of the vibe.
Yeah.
So it's easy to make those decisions because I know what the plan is.
Well, you can never really fail when you have a singular voice. I mean, you'll fail, you know, in different ways, but like at least the show will be its own thing and it'll be, you know, the singular voice, like the point of view is what that's like the only thing you really need.
And I guess because I've had so many failed shows. I mean, so many failed shows. A graveyard of failure is my resume. That I guess the idea of like, well, if it doesn't work out, it does. I mean, like I've had so many failed shows, and I'm still here, making new shows. That I just feel like, you know what, it'll be okay. Like it's not the worst thing in the world.
Have you learned something from each and every one of those?
Yeah, I mean, the most important thing that I learn is again, is know what you want. Like the older I get, the more...
get the check before you buy the Ferrari.
That's right. No, and also a Spinal Tap, then Puppet Show.
Yeah, how many times do I have to tell them?
But I think it's kind of knowing what your voice is and what you want your outcome to be. Because you can always evolve, you know? You can always sort of evolve. But if you have a general sense, like, I know what my voice is now. And I understand what the Nerdist voice is. And so... that helps me make a lot of decisions. Whereas 10 years ago, if I were making a show, I'd be like, I don't know, make the walls plaid. Fuck, I don't know.
Yeah.
But having a plan and being able to define what it is that I want and define what it is that I'm trying to say and who I'm talking to, it makes so many of those decisions easy because you can cut out like 95% of the gunk because you go, well, that just doesn't, you know. Yeah, you know what, having a big couch shaped like a pair of lips wouldn't make any sense on this set.
Wait,
so let's not have that.
Wait.
I know, we had that on the single dat set. That's probably what you're thinking.
I thought we were doing that.
Sorry, there's no lip couch.
Whatever.
Matt, come back.
No, I guess.
Matt!
He's just trying to make you leave.
Damn, the lip couch didn't do it. You know, I've also learned that, you know, you can quote-unquote fail, but as long as you get back up and do something constructive with it and learn from it and try to apply your experience to something else, then, you know, you're pretty much always going to be okay.
That's why I'm
unless
going,
someone cuts your eyes out and
shoots
you in the
heart. That's why I'm going to bury that guy with blog posts.
See, that's good motivation. He, in a way, he almost kind of did you a favor because he lit a fire under you a little bit.
Fuck him.
Yeah. Yeah, let him inspire you, not your friends, Jonah and Chris.
You know what, though?
We respond
so much more to negativity than we do.
Yeah.
You go further with a kind word and a gun than a gun and just a kind word. I don't know how that applies. I just felt like quoting The Untouchables.
I was just thinking about that movie on the way over here.
It still holds up.
Yeah,
that
it's great.
Fucking movie holds up.
Oh, you know, I want to register a complaint to Netflix Instant Watch.
All right.
They acquired the movie Anvil, the story of Anvil, the documentary on the Canadian metal band, which is one of my favorite documentaries. They acquired it from VH1 and used the TV cut, therefore taking out the swearing, which I it's fine, but there's a lot of it in there, so it's kind of off-putting when there's that many gaps. But they even like do the thing where they use the TV cut, so it'll go to black, like it's going to commercial, and then just come right back.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
Same thing happened when Lifetime put out Sid and Nancy. Totally different movie.
Fucking stab me!
That's a bummer. Maybe it was a mistake.
Yeah, VH1 logo was on the.
Acquired it from VH1.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's.
Yeah, it's a bummer. You guys should fix that because it's a great movie and you're kind of taking away a lot of it.
Maybe the regular movie doesn't exist anymore.
Ah, that'd be a shame. Like, I met those dudes. They're so rad.
Like in World War II, they cut out of A Night at the Opera. They go to Italy, the Marx Brothers.
Yeah.
And they made it in like 1933 or something like that. World War II happened, they were still screaming it at movie theaters, but they chopped all of these references to Italy out so people wouldn't think about the war when they went. Destroyed. No copy exists with the Italy stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All because of escapism.
They never thought they should save it. Like, they never saved anything back then.
No. I mean, they also just paid people per performance.
Yeah.
That's why the fucking Three Stooges had to do a movie in the fucking 60s. They still did a movie.
They did, yeah.
Three Stooges in space or something like that. They're in a spaceship or something like that, but they're all old and they're all fucking fucked up. Yeah. And it's so sad to even
like
look
Curly
at it.
Joe is in that one.
Yeah. It's just it's real bad. Modern. It's sad because you know they just like they don't, you know, they can't keep up.
Curly Joe Besser.
That's
as in Matt Besser's like great uncle.
What?
You didn't know that?
No.
Matt Besser is related to Joe Besser.
Oh my god.
Matt Besser of the UCB is related to
Joe
Besser.
Holy shit, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed by that.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna wiki that shit.
And the other thing too, like the Marx Brothers, Chico was bad with money.
Yeah,
like really. And bad
wasn't
with
he
money
in charge of the money for like the first?
Well,
like,
Groucho had his own money, and Groucho he lost a lot during the Depression, but
In the stock market.
Yep. Yeah, what happened was he lost like almost all of his money
because everyone thought the stock market.
Yeah, it was safe.
Similar to that. I mean, when you see the parallels between the housing market and the stock market, no, you can't lose money. Yeah, you just put money into it, and you get money back. It's a machine. Yeah.
But like later on, and like I think it was the late 50s, they got together for a pilot, a Marx Brothers pilot. They're all old. They did it. He did it for Chico.
Oh,
so Chico
really?
Got some money.
Jesus. That's a fucking
bummer. Really, that's sad to look at. But enjoyable to see.
Not as
color.
Sad as Larry Fine in the Hollywood Christmas parade, really old, being pushed in a wheelchair, and they just dressed him up like a chicken.
You're right. You're right about that.
Now, it says here that on this website that he was actually Matt's grandfather.
Wow.
Fucking A,
yeah, because he's not that old.
Oh, wait. No, his grandfather's cousin.
Okay.
It was his grandfather's cousin.
But still.
Still in the same sperm line.
Wow.
Still in the same sperm line. We call it a sperm line, right?
Last night I was
looking. Yeah, Selenia John Parr with the Baldwins, Chris.
I was looking up the heir to the throne in England and all that stuff and like trying to understand the bloodline because I was watching a documentary on Queen Victoria and I still can't wrap my head around how they decide who the hell is next. Doesn't make sense to me.
Oh,
like
you mean
cousins, uncles, nieces.
Like everyone's up for grabs?
The German Kaiser. It was weird.
Huh. I never understood how any of that works. Like, oh, she's that's the king's daughter's that he had with a lady in waiting. What is happening? Who's running this country?
Chris, you better get
symbolically.
It.
We have
symbolically
to get it together.
Sucking the money.
Guys, I'm doing this research for us.
Yeah,
just so weekly.
Nah,
they're gonna start branching out into.
I'm gonna start blogging for them too, assholes.
Wow, you really pushed Myra. Now we can call him Myra because
I guess you can.
We're
the best buddies of the whole world, you guys.
This is so much fun. This mic sucks.
I saw Super 8.
How was it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
I saw
it's
that
a lot of fun.
On Tuesday with Doug Benson, and Leonard Maltin was behind us.
That's Did awesome. Doug talk to Leonard Maltin?
We were going to stick around, but Leonard went to pee. And when old guys go to pee, they take a while. So
they do.
Left.
Maybe he was...
There was a line.
He wasn't... Really... Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, that's what it was.
All right.
But yeah, I loved it. I really liked it a lot.
I loved it. I saw it with a group of people that hated it, and it pissed me off.
Really?
Because they started nitpicking it, like saying shit like.
Here's what
I didn't see it, so make sure your nitpicks.
No,
going.
Yeah,
no
spoilers.
It's like a trope that's used many times.
I don't like movies shot on film.
Like a guy, knocks out a guard and then puts his outfit on.
Yeah.
Something like that happens, and then like a guy sees him and goes like, "Hello, Staff Sergeant."
Yeah,
and he's all, "How is the guard that's guarding him a high-ranking officer?"
Well, I thought that, but didn't care enough.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't care.
The thing is, like, no one realizes that the if they watched the movies that they loved as kids, they would find them probably atrocious. If I was those kids' age and I saw Super 8, that would define my summer.
Yeah.
It would define mine and my friend's summer. We would be on our bikes fucking making zombie movies. We would fucking, be like getting into adventures.
It was, I described the movie as all your favorite older Spielberg movies rolled into one
with
lens flares.
There you go.
Lens flares.
But yeah, I mean, the fucking the train crash is great.
Man, I want to see it so bad.
The train crash.
I don't know anything about it. Stop talking.
Yeah, it's in the trailer, Chris. The train crash, by the way, is worth the price of
admission. I've been avoiding the trailer because I wanted to be
surprised. Worth the price admission.
I haven't been able to see anything. I still haven't seen Bridesmaids. I still haven't seen fucking X-Men First Class.
I still need to see X-Men First Class.
Why was Thor in the movie I saw? I had time to see one movie in the last month, and it was Thor.
Also, Submarine is out. Submarine is out, which is Richard Ayoade's directorial debut.
Yeah.
Cinematic directorial debut. It looks really good. Neil Mahoney was talking about Beginners, which sounds like an awesome movie about like a guy whose mom dies and then his dad comes out of the closet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And like,
if you're going to do it, might as well do it then.
Yeah, right. And then, what else is out right now that's fucking looking good?
What is the movie that looks British and but it looks just like Rushmore?
That's Rushmore. Submarine.
Submarine,
yeah. That's the movie that Richard Ayoade.
Is it good?
People have been loving it.
Do they?
Yeah.
Because the trailer seems a little precious to me.
People are loving it. No, but like, I don't know. I only saw a teaser. I haven't really seen the full trailer.
I'll tell you what I'll do, guys. I will not be typical for the internet. I will watch the movie and then form a judgment.
There you go.
If I have That's time to watch it.
Very bold.
Yeah. I know. I'm trying to break new ground.
Oh, this is
trying to set an example for the web. Example.
You know what? You break new ground, I'll blog about it.
You want to blog about everything
yeah.
now.
Yeah, use the Fuck blog that guy. Machine.
That's when Matt started hosting Blog Soup.
Blog Soup. Soup. No, but I think back to the Back to the Future post I wrote like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think about how much I agonized over it, and it took me like 2 weeks to write.
You don't have to agonize
over
every
post.
I know, right?
They don't have to be giant,
no.
crazy things.
No, you could 400 words, 250 to 400 words.
I don't remember
you could post
how many
about
words
something.
That Back to the Future thing was. But
and if
was
you're
long.
Posting, you know, sometimes you can just treat it like a Tumblr. Like, just if you find something, you run across an image or yeah. you run across
cool.
a video or something, you can share it and you don't have to say anything. You can just post
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But you will have to write a bit about the
I'll
shuttle.
Write a lot. Don't worry
but,
about
but
that.
But don't feel like they have to be like these 1,000-word
yeah.
Feature articles. They
yeah.
don't. You just, you know, just write. Don't put that pressure on yourself. That might be, you know, why it's been bothering you a whole lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'd post more if I always was able to remember my login info to
wait,
the site.
Wait.
I have that in email.
What is that? Hang on. Do you hear that, guys? It's a question.
It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. No, you were going to do that. It's a question.
But.
It's a comment.
Also.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment.
How did we know we were going vaudevillian on that? How did we all know that?
I got one I just want to reuse. This. Just
we're
a,
podcast linked now.
This guy was very nice. Sent me an email. His name is Stephen Ming. He says, hi, my name is Steven, and I'm from Santa Paula, California. Go Paulcats. I just wanted to thank you for your amazing podcast. I've been a loyal listener since the beginning and love each and every episode. You guys have exposed me to so many comedians, actors, shows, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and I'm extremely grateful. I don't have many friends in my life. My best friend is currently deployed serving our country in Iraq, and listening to you, Matt and Chris, discuss random topics really touches home with me. I can't tell you how many nights me and my tiny circle of buddies would stay up late night bullshitting about TV, music, and stand-up specials. Back when Comedy Central was mainly about stand-up. Tell me about it. but yeah, thanks for listening. I hope your friend comes back safely. And
I thought you were still reading somehow.
No. Thanks for listening, Steven. Hope your friend comes back safely and go
too.
Fuck
That's
yourself.
So nice.
He will. He will come back safely.
Yeah.
And
he will.
Did you say go fuck yourself to Matt?
No, Steven. I couldn't. It was too much sap for me.
Oh,
I had to
cut him down.
I love that you weren't going to explain that.
Yeah, yeah.
And go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself, Steven.
So if I'd not said anything, you would have just let that go.
Yeah. You know, my fans get it.
It's just, you know, Jonah, you're like a cat. It's just like, pet, pet, pet. Why? Why now? Why now? What just happened?
Don't get too close. I got enough of it.
This kitty needs to scratch.
Yeah.
This is from Alex. Hey, Big C. I'm glad that's been sticking. That's all I get now.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah.
I was listening to the Hostful Number 90 system. I could definitely get you into Disneyland for the low, low price of free,
.99. What?
Free!
Read this one more carefully.
I was listening to the Hostful Podcast Number 96, and I could definitely get you into Disneyland for the low, low price of free,
$0.99. We also have special passes to cut in front of line to do everything that we want. It would be an honor to have you join us. I guess Matt and Jonah can come too. Sincerely, Alex.
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know. I'll talk about it with Alex and we'll see if it's appropriate. You guys were just there.
Well, no, yeah. But we like it too.
I know, guys, but also, this is a classic kidney scam. He knows
what we want. Kidney?
We're going to end up at the Disneyland Hotel in like room 649 in bathtubs of ice.
If it's in the Grand Californian, I will go. That's I will fine. Give a kidney to go back into that hotel, Chris. It was great.
All right.
No.
Let's just do it.
You are the captain.
This is from Brett Mounts. Mounts! Hey, guys. Big fan of the podcast. I love your faces and the way you speak words in the microphone into my ears.
Thank you.
I have just started doing stand-up comedy at a local open mic. So far, I've gone up 5 times and done 5 completely different things.
Whoa.
From classic stand-up to reenacting Castaway as a pumpkin with a pie. But I'm running out of ideas.
Stop.
Well, he did everything you could do. He did stand-up to the pie thing. Should I just go back to doing classic stand-up jokes or keep doing random stuff?
No,
how do I come up with new jokes?
Work on the shit that you have. You
Ooh,
have
look who's an expert
five.
Over there.
Yeah, listen, yeah, guys, exactly. I run probably the best open mic in Los Angeles.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, jeez.
I don't know if you've been there.
Here's the thing.
Oh, my God, you guys, for my umbrella, it's douche raining. I need an umbrella.
When I started, I was doing stand-up-y jokes, but I was also doing, weird... weird bits and weird kind of fake characters and Mr. Popularity
yeah. was great. Your prop character, you have to do more than 5 shows to figure that out. I had some great advice once from Louis Anderson, who is impersonated much better by our executive producer Brad Stevens than I am. But he said,
Louis Anderson.
Go out and do 100 shows and then come back and talk to me.
Yeah.
So that was the advice with my weird Corolla-esque impersonation of Louis Anderson. Do 100 shows of everything you want to do. It doesn't matter. You don't have to confine yourself to anything. Do 100 shows. Because what happens is, over time, you're going to gravitate towards something naturally. Yeah. Like, the real you is going to come out. But it's like, you're like, it's like your soul is inside and you have this crunchy shell on the outside. You have to crack that to get to the soft part inside. Yeah. So... you don't know what that's going to be until you perform a bunch. So do all that shit.
Yeah, do all that stuff. Be, do weird bits, but then, be sure to not be afraid to go back and work and say those jokes you said the first time on stage again. Yeah.
Yes, that is a craft.
I still have trouble doing that. When I see the same people in the crowd, I do not want to say the thing they've heard before.
It is when you're starting, you have this foolish idea that you have to do something different every time, but you don't. There is a craft to actually... honing jokes and adding jokes and expanding chunks and then tying things together. And listen, and then his next question is, how do I come up with new jokes? You need to have experiences.
Live life.
Yes. Walk around, do stuff.
Read a new book, go to a place, try a thing. Yep. Like watch a new series you would never have watched. You need, because your brain is a machine and art and stand-up or anything is a form of expression and you're expressing data in a way that you need to express it.
Yeah.
So you have to fill your brain with external stuff so that you can spit that back out.
Yeah, just notice things more. Be more aware of things. Like, look at other people more. Notice people. People watching is a great way.
Have the last name Mounts. Because that is an awesome last name. That is an awesome last name.
Sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't. But yeah, I think that's you just have to kind of get out of your comfort zone and notice things more. Notice, pay more attention to commercials, previews, people, your parents, you pay attention to the things you do that might be weird. There's a level of self-awareness that will really help out.
Yeah, I've started just telling about my week to the open mic crowd, and it's weirdly humorous to them.
Well, that's what's great about doing your show every week and having to do new stuff every week is that your first handful of shows are going to be all those bits that you've been carrying around in your head forever.
Yeah.
And then you run out of that. It's exactly what happened when I started writing my book is that I burned through all of the here's just some advice stuff. I burned through that immediately.
Yeah. And then you had to
I was like, oh, shit, what do I do? And then the only thing that I could do was start writing about my own experiences. And oh good, you actually use a cough button, that's good. Writing about my own experiences and then pulling the sort of like, not so much advice, but sort of like, oh, so I did a bunch of these things and then here's how I dealt with that.
Yeah.
And so at a certain point you turn inward, and that's what you want as a comic. You want to be able to turn inward so that you can start pulling out all that juicy stuff, because that'll make you unique.
Also, be ready for your friends to stop thinking anything you do is funny.
Yep.
Because you can be the funny guy, but once you start doing stand-up, they will think you're always trying out bits.
You trying out a bit right now?
Yeah.
It is.
Is that your trying out a bit bit?
You trying out a bit?
Trying out a bit right now? Are you doing comedy on me?
Is this a comedy on me?
Are you doing comedy all over my face?
Can you kill me?
Could you kill me? But not with comedy? With an actual sword.
You could just talk to us for once? Instead of just doing your bits all the time?
This one's my favorite, though. I got to be honest. I mean, it's so good. The quack, 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 fling, quack.
Not going to fault them for that one.
This is a comment from Tony. Hey, guys, I heard you mention Andrew Bird and looping on one of the podcasts. If you like that style, check out Owen Pallett at owenpalletteternal.com. All right. I can't do that now, but I'll do it later.
That was good.
This is from CJ Chicas. Dear Nerdist, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I'm only 15, but you guys have really sparked my interest in comedy with a capital C. Well fucking done. I live in a land far, far away.
Alderaan?
And due to the... He didn't say that. I added that part. And due to the fact that I travel...
It's not even around anymore.
What?
It's not even around anymore, so it didn't even make
sense.
Why
do you have to remind me? It's like I had just gotten over it.
Yeah, because that was a long time ago.
What did it feel like?
Was it a galaxy close to here?
No, it's very far, far away. Far away, yeah.
Well, this guy travels a lot. We've been one of his main sources of entertainment for the past year. Currently lives in Malaysia. Just letting you know that you guys have a fan base over here if you ever want to come over.
He started a base? How many soldiers does he have?
I don't know in the Nerdist Army. Comedy is scarce around these parts. But I heard you guys talk a lot about stand-up and stuff, and I was wondering what you would recommend for people who are interested in sketch and improv part of comedy like me. If you're interested in sketch and improv, you got to find other people.
Yeah.
Because you need more than one person to do sketch and improv.
Well, yeah, but
and
also
you can
just
use
write.
The internet.
Just write sketch. Just write sketches. Actually, here's a... For people wondering, like, you know, about doing... If you listen to the Brian Posehn episode of WTF with Mark Maron, Brian, like, talks about... where he was just writing sketches for himself, you know, just writing just to have them. And then when Odenkirk was asking people in the city, you know, all their friends to submit for Mr. Show, Brian was one of the only guys that was just like had a packet ready to go.
It is surprisingly organized for that metal stoner.
Yeah, exactly. But he just, you know, because he wanted to write comedy, and he had one ready. And that's a big thing he told me when I first met him. He said, just have things ready, because you're going to be the guy that's like, hey, do you have anything you can show me? And you just fucking show it to him right away instead of going, I'll get back to you, and then go and try and put together a packet.
When I was working on Barnyard, I had a great conversation with Steve Odenkirk. Another your Odenkirk reminded me of Odenkirk.
Of Thumb Wars fame.
Of Thumb Wars fame and Kung Pao. And so we were talking about the writing process, and Odenkirk is one of these guys that he's super successful because he fucking writes like it's a job. Even when he's no one's employing him, now he's employed all the time, but he writes like it's a job. And I was asking him, like, how do you break through the wall when you get up and you write? And he was like, it's not, you know, when you get up to write every day, it's not sometimes about even the words you're writing at that moment. It's about loosening up the machine for later. When, like, you just gotta keep the machine greased, and so you have to get into the pattern of doing it. So I say, if you're a young writer, try writing everything. Write stand-up, write prose, write improv.
Commercials.
Write improv. Yeah. Write sketch.
Yeah, write your commercial.
Write
a short
everything.
Story.
Write a fucking spec, small wonder. Like, just fucking try it. Because
small wonder.
Not in mind about girls. It's a small wonder. A girl, I like the girls. You can fuck her and not go to jail. She's a robot.
Lives in your head.
Lives in the head.
Right? That's how that works.
So, yeah. Have fun in Malaysia.
Yes, so that's what I would recommend.
Just start writing.
And there must be some sort of alt.comedy.malaysia news group that kids are on now, right?
It's probably a GeoCities site. It's a GeoCities site.
It's a GeoCities site.
Yeah, it's got really awesome drippy HTML.
There's some AOL chat room comedy, com-malaysia-dy.
Com-malaysia-dy.
Yep.
I used to go to a Metallica chat room on AOL.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it called? Yeah!
I don't remember what it was called, but
with all
we talked about Metallica. It was really awesome.
What did you talk about with Metallica?
How great they are, Chris!
Isn't it awesome how James Hetfield plays his guitar down at his knees?
Did the administrator call himself the Master of Puppets?
He should have.
Someone put out an album called Pastor of Muppets, and I can't remember who it was.
Oh, fuck, who was that?
Oh, I got
Pastor
the internet right
of Muppets.
Here. Well, I have my information genie right here.
Oh, man, yeah, who was that? It wasn't Adam in his package.
It was
the internet has the answer.
Skank and Pickle, or was it a?
Here we go, Pastor of Muppets on Uncyclopedia, the content-free encyclopedia.
Well, I research all my school projects.
Pastor, nope, wasn't on there. God damn it.
So you just made it up, Chris.
Maybe Google?
I did not. I did not Google it.
And then he ended up with that being the top hit. So obviously it didn't exist.
Shit. I can't find it. And you know what's happening right now?
What?
Oh, it's not the Dandy Warhols, is it?
No.
I see Dandy Warhols.
Really?
Could have been.
Pastor of Muppets.
Could have been.
Man, that does not sound familiar.
So I did a burrito tweet up, or a burrito up as I've been started calling it the other day, in Detroit. And there was one guy who said to me, his name was Lance. He said, one thing drives me crazy is when can't remember something because I usually know it. And he's screaming like, it was this thing, like screaming at his iPod. The Dandy Warhol.
Yeah, that's me when I listen to things, too.
Weird.
I know it.
Weird.
Yeah, the Dandy Warhols apparently, I guess, have an album called The Pastor of Muppets. I think these are the guys that kind of heckled at Bumbershoot last year.
Oh, yeah. Who told you that?
I don't know. There were a couple guys and they were heckling and they just kind of had that air of like, I'm used to being on stage and I can talk out loud whenever I want. And I don't know if it was the Dandy Warhols, but I just guessed it was the Dandy Warhols.
Yeah, then I made that the parody lyric from Bohemian.
Yeah.
I said, I never thought you'd be an asshole because heckling is so passe.
But maybe it's not them. They might be totally nice guys and not the douche chimps who were sitting in the front row at that show.
Well, I don't know. Watch the movie Dig and then make another statement.
That should be the name of your next album. Make another statement. Jonah Ray, make another statement. How's that new 7-inch coming?
It's coming along well. I'm piecing it together right now. I think it's going to be good.
Need to try some stuff out tonight?
No, it's going to be a collection of the past couple years. All the bits from the past.
A bits that you've done before?
Run it.
Yeah, right?
That's crazy.
Nothing's on.
That is crazy. Well, we're at the end of another Hostful podcast,
you
guys.
No more appointments?
No.
No?
We did five.
We did five?
We did five, including yours.
Well, mine was more of just the guy saying, hey.
Which is a question or a comment.
Oh, it's a comment.
Some kid wrote to me and said that when he finished his ACTs the other day, the proctor said, does anyone have any questions or comments? And he burst out laughing.
Should have burst out singing.
Yeah. You mean a question or a comment? Are you playing the straw?
You are very talented.
Oh, man.
Hey, hang in there, Jonah.
I am hanging. I'm fine. I really do feel good.
Good. You
should. Like that little kitten hanging on the branch of the tree?
No. I'm that tree.
Hanging.
Forever.
Hanging there.
Forever fucking with cats.
Copyright 1966.
We're gonna write a movie, Jonah. Don't worry. That's what we'll do this year.
Are you guys going to write a movie?
That's what we're going to do this
year. I'm going to start a bluegrass band.
Nice.
Yep.
Yours seems like it's probably going to happen.
I've already been talking to people. I talked to a couple people that are awesome.
Oh.
I'm going to start a bluegrass band.
Boy Tinsley, the violin player for the Dave Matthews Band.
Do you want to know what the name of the bluegrass band is going to be?
What is it?
Just so no one else squats on it?
Yep.
The Notable Hutts.
Oh, I don't get it.
I don't get it.
I went to a Star Wars wiki once. I was reading up about Jabba the Hutt, and it said other notable huts.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. I like that.
Notable huts. That's the name of a bluegrass band that I'm going to start.
Hey, here.
So I hereby announce the Notable Hutts.
The Notable Hutts. That's what it's going to sound like, right?
Yeah, that was the first song.
Yeah. Here, this is to make Matt feel good. Magic.
Why are you touching his butthole?
Magic Hate Ball on Twitter says, at Matt Myra, if liking the Red Sox and Dave Matthews is wrong, I don't want to be some jerk named Jonah Ray.
Hey, that's so nice. Jonah took a bullet for you just now.
Yeah.
You took six silver bullets from me.
I'm always impressed about your Barney.
Ed. There we go.
Come back, diaper! Hi, man.
Yeah, this usually what all WebSoup meetings devolve to.
It's
everyone saying Simpsons lines.
It's Brad doing his Louis Anderson. Yeah. Our eyes on the board! And then, come on, Homer! Guys like us just can't get a break! And then that.
All right.
You're really quiet. Oh. Enjoy your burrito!
Wow.
Put you off?
What?
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
I have missed these Friday night dinners.
Hey, welcome to Harvey Gras!
At these family dinners...
Gracious, everyone!
Dysfunction is served.
I can't have you all messing things up for my entire adult life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we embarrass you?
Jump, jump, jump!
It's already better than I dared to dream.
They're extra.
Let the wild rumpus start!
Woo, 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 woo.
And they're embarrassing.
We know how hard it is to move on from the first girl that you ever slept with.
Not the first girl who I ever slept
with. Yeah, right. You're a regular lady killer.
I thought you said it was going to be boring here tonight.
No!
I really hoped it would be.
But they couldn't love each other more.
Surprise! To mom and dad being totally normal.
Wow.
So, dinner next Friday, everyone?
Wouldn't miss for the world.
Dinner with the Parents, Season 1. Stream free only on Freevee.